Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Up to 90.
I'm good. I'm very good. How are you? You had an interesting day?
Real answer there. I don't know if I did have an interesting day. We had a man come about the dishwasher, so we were very, very excited.
Don't blame you.
Needless to say, put a bit of eyeliner on for that. So shout out to Terry Callahan in Dingle, who came, looked at the dishwasher, along with my auntie Jer, who also came. Because, of course, we're allowed in each other's houses now. It is kind of surreal, isn't it, having like a non-resident in your kitchen? It just feels like you're breaking all the rules.
Oh, yeah. I went to see my mom today for...
I was super chill when I saw the pic.
Yeah, it was first time in our house, obviously, since it all began. So I went up there at lunchtime with Ella and the boys. And... it was very strange, I have to say. Very, very strange.
I'd say it would be quite surreal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, her thing is now, she said, like, she's still kind of dying to, like, hug everybody and everything.
Oh, I know. But then, do you know Luke O'Neill, who I absolutely love? I did my first ever 6 o'clock show with him, and I think I'll always have, like, just a place in my heart for Luke because he was just such crack. Do you remember that was the one I did with Alan Shatter? My dad was like,
oh, yeah.
Alan Shatter actually like you, and I was like, why wouldn't he? But Luke was on Pat Kenny the other day, and he was saying there's a chance that we can just eradicate this, like, minus a vaccine as such, we can eradicate it from the community. And somebody wrote in and said, can I hug my grandkids? And he said, look, a quick hug is not going to do any harm, just a quick hug.
Oh, did he?
Yes. And I just feel like anything Luke says, I put Luke O'Neill and Dave Chappelle in the same box, because anything either of them says, I'm like, yeah, like, that's now what I think. I mean, we talk about this every episode, how we're so impressionable when it comes to the opinions. But, like, I thought it was like kind of a valid point, I thought, because he was like, look, a quick hug, you know, I don't think that's a big deal. And I was like, oh, I think that's what everyone needs is an owl hug.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie. Oh, yeah.
That's probably what is needed. You see, I think it's just because it's been going on for so long now, and there'd be some people in my family who've been more cautious than others. I'm not going to name any names, and it's not who you think, I would say. But so I said to her, yeah, sure, you can get an old mask on and get in for a hug. So I'd say she probably will. I'm sure it's going to be a bit strange, someone kind of coming towards me with a mask on for a hug, but sure, look. But she just needs a hug. She'll get a few off Tommy, because Tommy is fairly free with the old hugs. Like, he can just demand the hugs off him, and he'd be like, yeah, because he's the youngest. It's his job. You know what I mean? So
Tommy is the Keith Duffy of the family, isn't he, really? Like, he's extra charisma.
Oh, I thought you were referring to something else. And I was like, it's a phase. He'll grow out of it. We just have to keep telling him to leave Mickey alone. Leave your Willie alone.
Sure, little boys love their Mickeys, though, don't they? That's the thing.
I know, but Jesus Christ, like, it's incessant. It's like a twitch.
I was reading an article there today, I was laughing, and they were suggesting that, you know, obviously, like, couples who haven't been cohabiting, can they or should they now, you know, do what others do?
Yeah.
And the advice was, it was the Independent, the English Independent, and they were saying that they were advising to do it with masks on. I was like, sure, whatever you're into.
Masks on?
Yeah.
You'd prefer that, wouldn't you? You and Fred are always doing something.
Well, look, he has this really cute nickname for me, which is Double Bagger. So, you know, like, that's, you know, in case the one bag, you know, dissolves or bursts or something. So, yeah, the old Double Bagger. But no, look, sure, whatever you're into yourself. I mean, I had to laugh because over the course of the lockdown, I did read one very funny
Double Bagger. Do you want to explain that?
A double bagger. Do you know what?
In terms of protection?
No, not in terms of protection. But although I will say, flashback, not referring to Fred here, but somebody from my romantic past, somebody that I was seeing for a long, long time, he did suggest on one occasion using a Tato bag as contraception.
I remember you telling me this, yeah. That's...
Yeah, and I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, just think of, like, what that would do to your willy, like a Tato bag. And then he said, this is just classic. Then he said, he suggested turning it inside out. And I was like, so my vagina tastes of cheese and onion. Like, maybe we can just leave it till tomorrow.
Do you remember months ago I was saying that fella who I, from my childhood, basically turned up at a gig sitting front row like a fucking weirdo? Well, him and his little group of mates used to have this thing, and they didn't use, I don't know what they used to refer to me, but they used this to refer to somebody else, was tarf. And that was code for tits, arse, wrecked face.
Oh, stop. I mean, do they not know
Isn't
that
disgusting?
That's the worst thing about that.
I know, but that was their thing, like that. She has a wrecked face, but she's got tits and an arse, so, like, you might as well.
Oh, God. And you know what? It's so sad because, like, yeah, it's the equivalent, I suppose, of a prawn. A lot of people would use that one.
Yeah.
Oh, and the heads and bits, and it's all about the body. Do you know what? Like, when I think back to it all, Emma, it's a wonder any of us are even halfway okay.
Isn't it a wonder?
I mean, and the funniest thing is, I only saw Mr. Tato back there the last week, and I am not shitting you. Shout out to Garby's, who now people will think they're sponsoring podcasts because we reference them so much. This is the same supermarket.
What if they could you not bring it up in conversation casually?
Well, I might, but I might, because I used to work there and I probably still owe the money. One of those. I was working when I had a lot of shit going. Working there when I had a lot of shit going on, and they didn't.
Narrow it down there. What time is this?
I know. I've had so many. I mean, basically, out of my 36 years, I'd say 35 of them, I've had shit going on. I love telling people things like, obviously, it doesn't apply this year because I'm pregnant and everything's up in the air with the lockdown and people are emotionally all over the place. But my favorite line, which I used to like to wheel out, was, I'm sorry, this is just a really bad time of the year for me, which I would say every week of every month of every year. Or, I think I'm getting my period, by which I would mean I'm getting my period in 22 days. Like, it's just not, it's something I'd wheel out a lot. But Mr. Tatum, like, this is 100% true. I saw him from a distance. Like, nobody's embracing in the current climate, obviously. Yeah,
we know you weren't in the same car, but I'm reminiscing about the Tato bag. Go on, Annie.
But guess what I was buying?
A pack of Tato.
Multi-pack King Crisps. I was like, this is just...
Dirty bitch.
There is always
something. Come here. You know when you were saying about, oh, it's my period or this isn't a good time of year for me? Do you remember there recently we had something to get out of and Judy being Judy was, remember you were getting ready to write these like four paragraphs of why we couldn't do it. And I said, no, Julie, back the fuck up. I've got this one. And I, my reply is just a lot going on at the moment. And it was met with respect. Concerns, empathy, and no questions asked.
It can mean anything. It can mean someone's not texting you back. It could mean a member of the family is ill.
It's not lying.
Yeah. And it's up there with the old classic, you don't know my story. Yeah. Isn't it really?
It's a softer, it's a softer, more what's the word I'm looking for? Not productive, but it's basically a softer, better version of that. And it's just fucking fantastic. I love it. And you see, it's not, there's no guilt. There's no guilt because it's not a lie. And but it doesn't invite any questions. And it's just beautiful.
I know when I was organising something before, it was an old Irish gig. So we were dealing with, I mean, what we would just say, like a niche comedy circle is all we're going to say. Like very, you know, I had translated everyone's sets, like we were good to go. But on the day in question, one of the chosen four messaged me to say, oh, like, could you translate?
Just name the names. We're naming names.
Look, it's for the Zoom party. You know, it's for the Zoom party. Okay. But they messaged me to say, could you translate my set? And I said, like, I'd help people. And I was like, look, I tell you what, send me what you have and I will take it from there. So then they responded with, look, I actually can't go to the Electric Picnic because I've got family stuff at the moment. And I was like, how do you suddenly have family stuff in the last hour? But again, it's a great one because everyone has family stuff. It's not a lie. Like, if you have a family, you have stuff. It's ingenious, impenetrable when you think about it.
I know, but and you see, the thing is, now that's why I don't use family stuff because I have kids, so I don't want to jinx myself. So that's why I just say a lot going on now. I just don't even use family stuff because you see, that still leaves it open for questions. Yeah. And the worst thing about family stuff is what that invites is questions months later. When you've completely you've carried on with your life, like you forgot about that conversation within 20 seconds of it happening, so you've completely forgotten, and then you've got to just kind of,
and it's like,
you know,
it's like Judge Judy says, if you're a liar, you have to have a good memory, don't you? So, like, you're looking at someone saying, what? Like, you know, you had all the stuff going on, and you're staring at them blankly, and then they're like, with the family, you're like, oh, yeah, that lie. I did a hypnobirthing class tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was asking you about as well when I was saying, how was your day? Did you enjoy it?
It was lovely, really, really nice. And Fred did it with me, but it was quite funny because, you know, obviously neither of us knew what it was all about. So at the start, we watched like a video, which we have. It was a real soft porn vibe to the hypnobirthing. Yeah, they were at home. And, you know, like that whole thing with porn, it was like the prelude. So they're out on a walk and I just straight away just felt really uncomfortable because you're like, this whole setup is just wrong. And then we did an exercise with the lovely person who was doing the class. And the first exercise was to imagine yourself in a kitchen where you feel comfortable. And you'd love to go there now. Like it's somewhere very familiar to you. Feels like a safe place. So then we opened her eyes after a few minutes of like the breathing and all that.
Mm.
And she was asking, what kitchen were you imagining? So I was like, oh, well, I was imagining my mom's kitchen. Do you know what one Fred imagined?
What?
He said this really serious, and myself and your one burst our whole laughing. Charity's kitchen.
What?
The Chinese, Emma.
Oh my God.
Where you feel safe and it's familiar. So anyway, it was a bit of crack. How we go. Apparently I can just breathe the baby out of me. So
yeah, be grand.
Ah, yeah. let's just keep telling ourselves that. But I do think that was funny, poor old Fred in the chair. But he was saying all the right things. You know, sometimes I find males of the species in that scenario, they really, like, they really know how to lick arse as well, don't they?
Oh yeah, it's a real fucking insight. Oh Judy, you've really hit a nerve with me there. You've really out of the way. You've been at home, right? And you'd have just been like, would you ever fuck off? And then you have some appointment or something, and it's all fucking nice as pie with whoever. You're like, where the fuck did you pull that out of? And it's all yes, yeah. Sir, no, sir, three bags full. And thanking people for their time. And you're like, what about my fucking time? You've never thanked me for my time that I'm not going to get back, might I add.
Street angel, house devil. They're experts on it.
Okay, let's be honest about this. You're doing the theory. You're doing the practical. Okay? It's kind of all on you. So Fred can go out and get the novelty keyrings and the L plates and make sure that there's petrol and the tires are good. Do you know that kind of way? So
yeah, I'm just gonna wrap up with a balloon. And everyone will be like, isn't he great?
I am fucking dying to talk to you after you've given birth. And be chatting to the new Julie.
The new Julie. Oh my God, stop.
I remember when I was having Ella, so obviously I was like fairly naive, and a friend of mine came up to me and we're just like in school, and she goes, oh my God, I was watching this program the other night about women giving birth. And I was like, oh yeah. And I'm standing there like fucking 7.5 months pregnant. She goes, yeah, it was these women that basically looked at labor like a sexual experience. So they channeled their labor pain. Yeah, they channeled their labor pains into orgasms. And she's like, and they're all like on the labor ward, like giving it all the like, all that, like. And I so vividly remember her saying that. And then I remember when I was digging her grave in the Dublin Mountains. And I had a moment of, was this a bit rash? And I said, no. Because why the fuck would you rock up to somebody who's petrified and say that to them? Like nearly suggesting, like, maybe you should try having an orgasm. Like, you haven't experienced one yet. You're 18. But maybe give it a go during your labour. How about that?
Oh, that is so fun. But it's true, though.
I still know her. I still know her to this day. And I've absolutely no respect for her.
Like, her spirit will follow you always because you ended her life. So, of course, you know her. You're like Hamlet with the ghost rocking around for dinner every evening. And it's like I said before in another podcast, you know, the way people love telling you the stories of, like, oh, you know, they started me off on the forceps and a couple of things. Sold me up, and a couple of weeks later I found a calculator up there, so you know what I mean.
She's grand but the prolapse anus isn't going to be the same again, and she got 48 stitches. You're like, okay,
you know what, can we just talk about everyone, how they're so happy to tell you about their prolapse? You're like, please, like, can we just order starters?
I think some people are now. I think some people are buying them on eBay or something, because they just seem to be, people seem to be whacking them around willy-nilly, like.
I think it was like nobody had hair extensions and then everyone had hair extensions. And it's like that with prolapse. Like, everyone has a prolapse. And I realise I am now inciting the hatred of all the listeners who are going to write in and say that they have a prolapse. I'm not doubting you do, but I'm just saying, can we just order our starters first before we start to talk about it?
I know. Yeah. I think that's legit enough, isn't it?
And it's, you know, that former classmate of yours, like, it's, I mean, you were a lucky ducky there, the way everyone just presumes it was Larry Murphy as well. Like, it's just everyone just automatically, because of the area, you know.
Why do you think I'm still living around these parts? It's real handy. Like, I tell you, 15-minute drive and you're in the middle of nowhere.
You were lucky that the most despicable serial killer.
I was clever. Just there was no luck about it.
The old triangle.
What stupid bitch.
You were good at planning some things. Like, maybe not pregnancy, but you were definitely good at planning the crimes.
Ah, yeah.
Our old friend Prince Andrew is back in the news.
The poor bastard.
I was excited
about it though, because do you know what, when Shane was like telling me the breaking news, I said to him in my classic way that I do, and he's now been slagging me about it, I said to him, fuck off, like the way you do my voice.
That's you.
But it was only because we had been watching the final episode of Filthy Rich on Netflix. So
it's great, isn't it?
It's good, yeah. I'd seen a lot of it, not a lot of it before, but especially like with some of the survivors. But then to have the timeline and the whole story together, like, was good. But where's your one? Glenisk, is that her name? Fucking yogurt.
Ghislaine Maxwell, because I went off then and went on a little bit of a creep dive.
Yeah.
And Ghislaine Maxwell, apparently, now this is just, we like to try the unsubstantiated rumours and up to 90, but apparently, because everyone's like, where the fuck is this bitch? Like, what an absolute dickhead. But apparently there were rumours that her dad had been an Israeli spy. You know the way your dad was this big media head, Robert Maxwell?
Yeah, yeah,
and
of course.
And apparently, like, he died in the mysterious circumstances. We all know that, like, on the boat off the Canary Islands, blah, blah, blah. But there were rumours that, so he got a big state funeral at the time. And there were rumours that Ghislaine was actually a spy for the Israelis, and that she has since been getting some kind of cover or has been given some kind of protected identity in both the UK and Israel. But I mean, there's no question. I mean, that might not be true, but she is definitely under the protection of someone, like 100%, whether it is the FBI, whether it is, what's the UK equivalent again of the FBI? MI5?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Or, like, she has to be under the protection of some governmental agency and giving some kind of information or something, because it's not...
Yeah, well, that's what I said to Shane. I was like, what's going on? Why has she not been mentioned now? And he said, well, there must be some... Maybe there's some sort of, like, ongoing investigation or whatever. And if they're saying to Andy, like, you're going to have a little chat... They must be compiling some sort of... They'd have to be compiling some sort of case, wouldn't they? Because she was just as bad as him.
But, I mean, she is as complicit 100%. I mean, she is...
Probably more so. She probably organised the recruiters. She probably got involved in all that side of it a lot more.
It's the usual thing that, like, a female face to something like that, and, like, that is the sad truth about paedophilia, is that often it is women who do recruit, who do get these young girls in, because as I would say, boys and girls, we're always told, like, if you're lost as a child, go find a woman, tell her you're lost. Like, it is that very kind of innate thing that you automatically trust a female.
Yeah.
But she is, she certainly was an active paedophile. I mean, I think certainly there is no question, especially now that they are asking Andrew, I don't know, is it an interview? Is that what they asked him to give? At this point, it's an interview just.
Yes, but I think basically if he refuses, he can come and chat to them now. Or he can give a statement with the English police and it can be passed on. But if he doesn't cooperate at this stage, then I think they can issue a warrant.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. Yeah, if you want to have a chat with us, but by the way, like, you actually
but
have
that'll
to have
show you us. That'll show you that Queenie IO is completely fucking finished with him. That's happening, and that's out. In
but
the public.
See, but she can't But I mean, sure, she can't protect him anymore at this point. It's gone too far. And certainly with the jurisdiction issue, like, because yeah. this is so huge and because it's the States, there is no protecting him. And like to say, I mean, honestly, even I mean, that interview, like with that interview before Christmas, like the way the interviewer
so
gave
good,
him.
Wasn't just, it?
But the way I was only thinking there, having watched this, Emma, like the way she gave him just enough rope to hang himself, but at the same time he still walked away from that interview, giving her the tour of the castle, thinking, "Oh yeah, job done." And like he said, so much there that can be used against him. I mean, even with the filthy rich, the fact that he's still maintaining he didn't know this Virginia Roberts. Having sent Ghislaine Maxwell an email saying, "We need to talk about Virginia Roberts."
Oh.
He's just not very clever.
No, and like, he's definitely sweating now. Like, he can bang on about this special condition.
There were video cameras everywhere. Like, imagine what Ghislaine Maxwell has on him and has on so many other people. Like, she has so much power to wield. There were cameras everywhere.
I mean, imagine if this actually, like, I'm sure it will. It's going to take a few years probably, but if like this got to court and all these people were witnesses and giving their evidence and all the rest of it, like, I'd have like a 4-day fucking bonfire in the back garden. I'd be on it.
Oh, honestly, your Bluetooth speaker would be like exhausting.
Creaming myself. Like, that would be the best entertainment ever.
I had this moment because I was reading just a review. There's some book out about Prince Andrew now at the moment.
Okay.
And like I was just reading a little review and they were saying, again, no more than filthy rich. It's kind of nothing that we didn't know. But just the way it's laid out is interesting. But the writer opens with an anecdote about about little Prince Andrew. What I didn't realise that the royal family watched Carrie. So that to me was news. But he was sitting there, he walked in and the Queen is watching Carrie and he said, "Oh, look at those common people." And he was like a child. And you know what? Like he never lost that.
No. He couldn't even fake it. Like,
you've got to understand. Like, I mean, the fact that he thought he was being cleverer than her and now could potentially end up in jail. Like, honestly, I'd be there with you at the bonfire. Like, imagine if he ended up, well, first of all, had to give evidence in court. I would love, absolutely love, for a legal team to just rip shreds into him. And or imagine someone like that ending up in prison. It would be such a triumph, such a victory.
Like, that would be bigger than Italian 90 in Ireland. Like, it would just be insane, wouldn't it?
But the family must absolutely fucking hate him. And actually, do you know what was funny? Because the other day, Fred came up to me and said, "Never cut your hair." And I was like, "What?" And he, why are you suddenly speaking in an English accent? Because, you know, immediately you think that was one of the initial warning signs with poor Brittany when she kind of had her psychotic break.
But then isn't it? The English accent.
Just a psychotic break. I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he was like, "Isn't that what Andrew said to Sarah Ferguson when they got married? And then when they broke up, that was the first thing she did. She got like a crop haircut." And I was like, "Well, I will never defend Prince Andrew, but I will say he was right on that one. Like, she should have never cut her hair. That was her best thing."
Fuck's sake. Oh my God. It's just, just the thought of that interview. I must watch it again some night when I have a few drinks.
Do you know what? Oh, of course.
I think I'm going to give the drinking an elsewhere again for a few weeks. I'm only just like drinking on a Friday night, you know, I'll have a few drinks on Friday night, but I just find like it really sucks the life out of me then for 2 days. Like, I'm still fine, but you know, like, the motivation is gone. I'm not getting up as early. I'm not eating as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, I can see where you're coming from with
that. And I'm not judging you. Like, obviously, you still have your couple of drinks. Like, that's fine. because I know you're still boozing to beat the band. But
I was saying that before when the midwife asked me, was I smoking? And I was like, only when I've had a few drinks.
Only
like,
rollies.
I care about my baby. Thank you. No, it is interesting. One thing I will say about the Filthy Rich, I don't know if you thought this, I was surprised at how easily they let Clinton off the hook. And then I did a bit of a Google and it turns out James Patterson, who of course was behind this doc, one of the heads behind this documentary, he's best buds with Clinton. And apparently the way they're spinning it now is that they're saying that Clinton had a long-term affair with Ghislaine Maxwell and that's why he was always around, but he didn't actually engage in any of this sexual activity with underage girls. What did you think of the whole Clinton element? Do you think they let him off the hook a bit, or would they take for, she said, oh, I didn't get up to anything.
I did take it at face value because as well, the fella who was an employee who was working on the island said that he'd seen him, but he didn't see anything untoward or whatever. I felt I have nothing to base it on. I don't know anything about the chap, but he seemed fairly credible to me. And the way he backed up your one about Prince Andrew, because he was like, yeah, she was the girl that was in the pool with him, topless.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just, I mean, I'm not saying that.
But you would wonder.
You want to give someone the benefit of the doubt, but it does seem a little bit hard to believe when he had so many visits to an island, which is called Paedophile Island.
Yeah, but then
maybe he was having an affair with Ghislaine Maxwell. That is why he was there so much.
I mean, that would seem more his speed. And obviously several women over the years came out and accused him of various degrees of, dodgy behaviour or whatever.
And none of them were underage, I suppose.
But then at the same time, it's always going to be harder for somebody underage to come out and speak about it.
Fairly young as well. And I know she wasn't a child, but at the same time, I don't know. Look, it's just something that I considered. But as I say it out loud,
I suppose I know what you mean, because you're kind of, well, it's kind of like, well, what was his reasons for being there? Where was Hillary as well? Like, why were one of these men, if they were just kind of going on holidays or just going to say hello, why were none of them going with their life partners?
But then, sure, we all know the dads that go off for the golfing holidays to Thailand and nobody brings a golf club, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that, you know what I mean? That, I suppose that is kind of a phenomenon. But look, I guess with Bill, and I know we talked about it in our Bill Clinton episode, like the awful thing is that like he still has that likability. So you're stared with the flight records, Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton. And you think, what the fuck is that? I mean, the only legal explanation would be that he was having an affair with Ghislaine Maxwell. But I mean, anything else, like there's no way he's going for the chats. Like it had to be sexual in some nature.
Yeah. I feel a lot of the times with these people, like the public nearly sometimes decide whether they want the person to be innocent or not. And because you say, obviously, that likability thing, do you know the way some people, if there's a sniff of anything dodgy about them, they are thrown to the wolves and everyone's like, fucking burn them at the stake, whether rightly or wrongly. And then there's other people who there's constantly rumours about, constantly dodgy stuff. And people are like, yeah, but we like them. We don't want this to be true.
Well, I mean, have you seen one tweet in support of Prince Andrew since?
No.
A shit show. I mean, even Eugenie is like, I'm done. Like, sorry now. We have a new family.
She doesn't know the price of fucking ridiculous hats yet, so we'll see how long her silence lasts.
This is true.
Was she going to get a credit phone? Come on. She'd be fucking back on bigging up daddy in no time.
She'd be back on Meteor like the rest of us. But no, there's definitely like the new family WhatsApp group. Like there's Fergie and the two girls, probably like maybe the husbands or the husband's three as well.
Fergie's just telling the girls, just have a bag packed ready to go.
Oh, stop. She's like doing a Jacqueline Joss on it.
Ah, yeah,
just
big
keep
time.
You wheeling, darling. Yeah, keep you wheelie.
I'd say they've got a backup plan ready to go. They've got a house in Italy, or do you know what I mean? They've got somewhere ready to go that when daddy dearest gets covered in the shit, they're just going to they're not going to be sitting in court, are they? Is he even going to get to court? No. I hope he does. He probably won't.
But I feel like they can't tease us with this. Like, they can take it this far. I know, by the way, like, let's not make it all about you, Julie. Like, this is about justice for the victims. But I'm like, I really want to see Prince Andrew in fucking court and hopefully in jail. Even the fact that he invited Epstein and Harvey Weinstein to the bloody daughter's 18th birthday party.
Yeah, well, I mean, two of them. One is kind of dodgy enough, but you know, you can't judge everyone on their mates. We all know people that are lovely, and then you meet them out with some fucking god awful mate, and you're like, Jesus, I'm hoping that they're like a childhood friend that they can't shake off. But these are friendships that were made later in life, so there's no fucking excuses. And it's the two of them. It's the cripple lad on the Zimmer frame, and the dead guy. That's pretty bad.
But sure, he only became a cripple when people started saying, yeah, Harvey, you actually did really bad things. And Harvey's like, oh, my leg's a bit sore. Like,
I don't blame him. Was I saying this last week? Or I think I was going to say it, but then I forgot. I did something, right? And I can't remember if it's in school or whatever. Listener, if you were there, get in touch and let me know. But I fainted a faint. I've only done it once in my life, but I fainted a faint to get out of something.
Oh, I think you talked about pulling a Lady Macbeth before.
Yeah, it was something to do. It was some sort of public speaking or something. And I don't know whether I was ill prepared or what it was. But like, I full on faked a faint. It was, and it worked. Like, it worked. And I, like, you know, the way, obviously, like yourself, I'm pretty pasty, so automatically after we were going, Jesus, yeah, you look fairly pale. I mean, I always look fucking pale, when you're so fair, you're transparent. If you do, I'm not suggesting anyone does this, but if you do decide to fake a faint, you'll be able to pull it off seamlessly. Like,
well, coming back to what we said at the start, at the top of the podcast, like family stuff, I've got a lot of things going on right now. I think the benefit of having, like, you know, the skin tone of a Yoza dumpling is that you can say, I'm just not feeling well. And everyone's like, you look awful.
Yeah.
It's a Friday, like fake tan Thursday has been and gone. And they're still like, you need to go home. Okay. Take Monday. You need to get yourself.
You need
to
a lift.
Doctor.
How are you getting home? No, you can't.
You shouldn't. You can't be driving. Drive. Give me your keys. Oh God, bloody Andrew! God,
it's so fucking true. Oh, how are you getting home? Come here. What was the other thing we wanted to talk about?
We were gonna touch on J.K. Rowling.
Oh, Jesus, what the fuck is up with her hole? What is she up to? What's wrong with her? Is it a brain aneurysm? Is it a brain aneurysm? This is what I was saying to Shane about Graham Linehan. I was like, I honestly think that it's some sort of brain aneurysm. Like, what the fuck? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just such bizarre behaviour.
Well, I think, there's something that's putting pressure on the brain there, because it's, I mean, the timing. the timing is so appalling. Like, when you think, like, say with the Black Lives Matter and all the protests happening at the moment. So, like, you know, most of us would probably describe ourselves as intersectional feminists, even though I'm still not quite sure what that means. But I think it means that you're supposed to include everyone. But, like, if you think of, like, say how hard it is to be a Black or brown person,
yeah,
and then factoring how hard it is to be a transgender Black or brown person, and you pick this week, so we're doubling down on the discrimination there for those poor people, and this is the week that you're like, no, I'm done. But I think the thing with J.K. Rowling is that, like, she really, regardless of what she's saying currently, I think it goes back to, do you remember a couple of years ago, it was so strange, and she liked a tweet that talked about men in dresses. Do you remember that? And her agent had to come out and say it was a middle-aged moment, and basically her finger slipped and she didn't mean to like this tweet. Do you remember that, okay, Emma?
No, I don't.
You kind of can't read this stuff without thinking back to that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, regardless at the moment, like, say if you said, okay, her timing is horrendous, I totally disagree with her opinion here, but look, she is entitled to her opinion. But I just keep thinking back to that, and you think, oh, but is it not kind of diminishing, like, trying to diminish a whole section of the population's identity? Because when you think back to that, I mean, look, it's like when someone tells you they accidentally blocked you on Instagram. It's not an accident, guys. Okay, they did it. Their finger pressed the button.
But I just don't understand why she's so, I just, like,
preoccupied. She's so vehement, yeah.
But, like, at best, I don't understand why she's just so preoccupied by something that does not affect her in the slightest. I can't get my head around it at all, like.
Can I just ask, maybe it's a bit of a silly question, but is someone, you know, her whole argument is you can't say science and biology doesn't exist. Is someone saying, like, biology doesn't exist?
No one's saying
that's what I don't understand, is that I don't think anyone, like, the fact that, like, I consider myself a woman, I don't think takes from someone else's experience whereby they might have been born with male genitalia, but they are a woman, like, they are female. I think that both things can be true.
Oh yeah, completely. And, like, obviously it's to say you're a woman, regardless of your genitals or anything like that, it's such a broad spectrum of an experience anyway. But what I'm saying, like, I don't understand why she's so exercised by it, because it has impact on her life whatsoever.
Well, what she said this week, actually, sorry, I'm just remembering now, but didn't she say that her initial tweet, if I'm not mistaken, was in response to a headline which read "People who menstruate."
So yes,
she took issue with the fact that they were using people who menstruate as an umbrella term rather than women. So what she was saying was, what she was trying to say was that she felt that her experience as a woman was being erased or diminished because we were now using these kind of terms like people who menstruate instead of women. So that's what she was saying, was that, like, this is taking from my lived experience of being female because we're scared to use the term women. But then other people came along and said, well, like, people who menstruate is probably a better way of putting it, because there are plenty of people who, for example, would identify as male, but they might still menstruate.
Yeah, of course.
But she was saying, I feel this is a threat on my experience as a woman. And people were like, no, like, it's like the fact you can include something without, you know, not, you can include, be inclusive without being exclusive. So we can include these other people without taking from how you identify yourself.
Yeah, I just don't fucking get it. I just don't.
It's quite strange. I know what you mean about brain aneurysm, that like somebody would come along and say, oh, it turns out like that she had a bit of a fall and she just hasn't been herself since.
I that's what, how I honestly feel about it, because like obviously you and me both are in quite a privileged position, because from one end of the day to the next, we don't have to think about us being accepted as women in society or anything to do with that. It's not something that's ever been questioned by anyone, or that I've had to question within myself or anything like that. It's, do you know what I mean? So the only way I could possibly be concerned by it is by trying to be supportive of others who do have who have had those questions or those experiences during their life. I cannot wrap my head around it, of like, why the fuck would you be concerned with it? And like, how it dilutes your own experience. As like, what is she banging on about?
It's strange how blinkered she, because it does come back to, you know, she put out that tweet before Christmas, didn't she, in support of the lady who lost her job, who was like a tax officer. But this lady in question was like, she held the belief that your gender was based on your biological sex, regardless of like undergoing surgery or like your own personal feelings, how you would identify on an emotional level.
Yeah.
So she put out a tweet in support of that woman and was like, this is outrageous, like that you're denying the existence of biological sex. But when you actually read through the case, like obviously she lost her job because people are like, we can't work with you if you're going to be using like the wrong gendered pronouns to refer to people. And she objected to this lady who was at the heart of the tribunal. She didn't agree with people having the right to self-determine their own pronouns. And then the court case, what surprised me in J.K. Rowling that time, if she'd actually read up on the case, I mean, I only read up about it this week now in the wake of like the latest thing with her, was that the Court of Appeals like basically had five criteria, I think, for protected beliefs, I think it's called. So yeah, like essentially that, you know, you can believe something that's different from my belief. But it failed at the last hurdle, because the last hurdle was you can believe what you want to believe as long as that's not
impacting,
affecting other people's dignity and their right to live.
Yeah.
So it was completely reasonable that it failed. Yeah. It didn't meet the criteria.
That's why I definitely think brain aneurysm, because she's obviously highly intelligent, well-read woman who, in fairness to her, you can't take away from the fact that where she came from to achieve all that she has achieved is incredible. It's outstanding. Like, it's you couldn't possibly have done that without being intelligent, considered, you know, willing to look at all possibilities, all sides of all stories.
Empathetic, you would think.
And even just like being an observer of, you know, the human condition and plights of others and all the rest of it. So I honestly, and I don't, like, sometimes I do say brain aneurysm as a bit of a fucking slag. Like, I will see someone in the shop looking like she's assaulting a sliced pan of bread, and I'm like, has she had a brain aneurysm? What the fuck's up with her? But it is my default. But in this instance, I mean it completely sincerely, well, with a touch of sarcasm, but for the most part, it's a sincere, what's a rhetorical question, like, has she had a fucking brain aneurysm?
It's all very strange. And she really, I was going to say she does need to step away from the Twitter, but she doesn't, because, you know, she can say whatever she wants. But I feel, you know, as a very privileged human being in her mansion, it's a shame that it feels like she's kind of targeting a really, really vulnerable section of the community. I mean, it's really hard. Well,
yeah, exactly. Like, why not punch up instead of punching down? Why not, if you want to like become exercised and use energy on something, why not just pick something else that actually does need to be punched.
Yeah, like, why not take this energy and put it into, like, say, something to do with Black Lives Matter or something to do with what's going on at the moment? Like, this level of passion and fury that she has, because it is, it's quite, you know, even reading the tweets, you feel like an anger there. It's really strange where she's directing that.
Yeah, I can't.
Would you object to the phrase "people who menstruate"?
Would I object to the phrase?
Yeah, like instead of using the term women. I mean, for me, I'm like, well, I think with what we know now, it's probably a more inclusive term to use. I mean, I wouldn't take any personal offense to it. I don't think it kind of takes from my lived experience.
No, well, like, I suppose it would depend in what context. Like, yeah. If somebody said,
yeah, as like, in if that was always the go-to, that suddenly if we lost the term women, or like, as in if it was replaced with,
well, no,
if it was replaced permanently with people who menstruate.
Like, well, for me, when I hear the term women, I just would assume to me that would be all women.
Yeah.
And then when I hear the term, you know, people who menstruate, I'm thinking of purely people who menstruate. So the only thing that if that term's used, my only concern then would be in what context is that then? Because if, like, say the term, like, oh, to women who menstruate, da, 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 well, like, it's still open to kind of being, like, leaving some people out, like, okay, so you hit early menopause when you were in your 30s, or you had a, like, I just wouldn't, the only reason I would use that term would be like, what's the story with these tampons? Like, if I had a question specifically related to menstruation, like, menstruating.
Yeah, because women, and I think that's the point that some people are making to you know, that, like, women and people who menstruate aren't interchangeable, because there's a huge proportion of women who don't menstruate.
Mm.
So, like, you know, this was, and also because wasn't this stemming from some article about, like, I think was educating some Africa, I don't know where this was now, but some African communities on menstruation and, like, sanitary care and, like, you know, sanitary needs. So it was just directed at people who menstruate.
That's absolutely fine. But sure, as well, she fucking knows. Do you know what I mean? We don't need to explain to her that's the people who that should be addressed to.
Well, I think it all comes back to, as I say, like, the fact that she did supposedly accidentally like that. Her, I mean, imagine liking a tweet referring to transgender women as men in dresses. It's so bizarre. Like, you would think you would tread carefully then and really look at yourself and, like, be considered in what you put out there. And look, I mean, she is ultimately entitled to her opinion, no matter how offensive that might be. You know, she's entitled to say what she wants to say, but it is just, as you say, Emma, I think potential brain aneurysm is the only way.
But do you know what? I would still, not for the most part, but in lots of circumstances, I wouldn't block these people on my social media or anything like that, because I think it's still important to know that there's people out there with these kind of opinions and people that have all the wherewithal to have better opinions, still have these opinions. So it's no harm to, like, remind yourself as well that there are people out there with these mad opinions about things. Because in lots of ways, this is what happens a lot of the time with people, I find, that are getting all their information from social media, is that they a lot don't realize that they're cherry picking all the information that they get.
Yeah.
And the going around,
their opinions are just getting reinforced.
So that's why they think that, you know, when there's a vote for whatever or a referendum or whatever it is, that it's like a dead cert, you know, it's 100% this is going to pass. And then it doesn't end up passing and people are horrified. It's like, well, yeah, because all of your news was nice news that only you wanted to see. So you'd no idea. You see, like, it works both ways. You can talk about, like, someone like, you know, JK not knowing what the fuck's going on. Fair enough. But, like, if you block all those kind of people, then you are leaving yourself in a vulnerable situation as well, not knowing that these opposing opinions exist. And obviously, you know that they exist, but sometimes you need to be reminded about where they're coming from. And not everyone's going to voice their opinions as well. So I think you kind of
need to keep a visual
on these people sometimes. Like, obviously, you don't need to give them any, you know, energy, or you don't need to engage with them or whatever. And obviously, if it's something that you find really offensive and upsets you, of course, you should take that out of your line of vision or whatever. But I just feel like if you can stomach this stuff, you shouldn't block it.
Well, yeah, because it's good. It's good to be kind of, I suppose, it's good to be reminded that these opinions do exist, because it also reminds you that, okay, well, there's still a bit of work to do then, that we're not there yet. Because if you just surround yourself with like-minded people on the likes of Twitter all the time, or just expose yourself to that, it does become a bit of an echo chamber, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it doesn't do anyone any good. And that's why, you know, even when, you know, people might come under pressure to unfollow people, etc., I think exposing yourself to a broad spectrum of opinion is ultimately a good thing, even if you find some of those opinions apparent.
Yeah. And that's why I still continue to have the bonfires and invite all the old crew. A lot of them, I find their lives questionable at best. The choices that they've made for them and their families, a lot of the time young kids involved. But do you know what? At the end of the day, we put all our opinions and differences to the side and we just get on with the tunes, Julie.
You get on with the 2 litre bottle of cider and you get on with the tunes. It's all about the music.
Go for it.
Jane got in touch. Just to say, Jane got in. Stop it. I don't know what's going on with me today. I just, like, honestly, since we started talking about a brain aneurysm, I just can't get my words out. So, like, if this isn't karma, I don't know what is. So, Jane got in touch to say that her friend Avril is a big fan of the podcast, and to give her a shout out. And she also has a bun in the oven. So I have started a serious trend. You're welcome, Avril. And just to give them, just to give herself and Avril a shout out. So thanks so much for listening.
Hi, Jane and Avril.
Also, can I just give a shout out to, I'm going to go through some patrons here, just 10 patrons very quickly.
I do.
And pick of course. Random.
Anything for my favourites, you know me.
We've got, now am I just doing first names or surnames here? Because we've got a lot of Ashlings floating around.
Well, say Ashling, and then people can let us know on the page. Yeah.
So we've got Ashling B, we've got Ashling J, we've got Ashling M, we've got Ali O B, we've got Alma, we've got Amy O N, we've got another Amy, just one name only, like Madonna. We've got Anna, we've got Aoife, we've got Aoife K, we've got Aoife McEl. We also have Breeding, we have Derek, hang on, I've got another couple, and we've got a Kate L. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast, guys, and supporting us on the L Patreon. You're very, very good. We really appreciate it.
And I don't want anyone who doesn't sign up while you were calling out them names smiling and enjoying that now. I want them to feel guilt. And I want them to feel a little bit miserable. That could have been your name. You could have felt. Don't take any of this love that you're feeling coming through your headphones right now. That's not for you. Give it back, you greedy fuck.
You know what? Can I just give another three? Because then that's all our A's. April, Arlene, Ashley, and Avril as well, and Aoife W. Thank you so much for listening, and
thanks, guys, for supporting
us on Patreon. The Bees, you are next. I don't know how I ended up with the Derek and a K in there. I obviously was doing a bit of a scan read when I was going through the ones I was going to give a shout out to this Thursday. So we're going to have a video. This video is a day in the life of Molly the Cat.
Oh, okay, yeah, lovely.
It's actually quite entertaining. She's all about it, all for it. So a day in the life of Molly the Cat, and also we're doing a special celebrity scandal. This week we said we talk about R. Kelly, didn't we?
Yeah, sorry, I totally went blank on you there. Yeah.
That's gonna, maybe you're having a brain aneurysm. Okay, maybe. So we're doing R. Kelly.
We're only doing it so we have an excuse to sing some of his songs, which obviously
honestly, if anyone found my iPod Shuffle from 2002, I'd be on some kind of register. Like Michael Jackson, The Lost Prophets, and R. Kelly. Like,
I know, but Judy, that's grand, but I think my issue is the fucking, no, it's the Gary Glitter. I mean, you didn't even grow up listening to that.
Well, I really, really, really object to the fact that his song was used in Joker.
Was it? I didn't even know that. I haven't seen it.
And you know why I really fucking object to it?
Why?
Because I went off and listened to it on YouTube and I hated myself so much, but it's just such a good fucking song. And that's why I hate the people who made Joker.
Julie, we're just starting to get this patron thing off the ground. Are you going to go and get fucking cancelled now?
Never.
We could be good for numbers. Never. If you get a little bit cancelled. Yeah, true.
I'm going to be ringing you saying, why am I cancelled? Yes, look, R. Kelly this week, A Day in the Life of Molly, it's all on our Patreon page. It's been an absolute pleasure.
As always, I've enjoyed every minute of it. Dying for the wee now, obviously, but it's been great.
Of course, absolutely. Are you going to go out with our signature?
Of course. God bless to the patrons.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.